steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, all the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Looks like you've made it to yet another election day. Today is Tuesday, August 11, 2026, and we are going to unpack all of the events transpiring in all 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin, where I believe the eyes of the nation are keeping a focus on the results of our midterm gubernatorial primary election. This has been a most unusual set of contests with people in the race and getting out of the race and back in the race and some unusual suspects making last minute endorsements, and the influx of money and outside spending has just created an absolute frenzy to try and catch the person who has been the leading candidate, Francesca Hong. So we're going to give you the details. And of course, if you need information on how to vote and where to vote, we can provide that to you as well. But we have been talking about this election so much and so frequently. I am just ready to get this contest over with so we can see where all the pieces have scattered once the votes are counted, and we can start looking toward November. Now, depending upon how today goes, and not just who comes out on top, but how well they did in specific areas, were there any surprises? Did one candidate do better or worse in areas in which they should have over or underperformed? All of that is going to be necessary. And also, what is voter turnout going to be? I'm curious because, you know, we have inquisitive temperaments around here. And I proposed a question on my Facebook page asking folks what they thought that the voter turnout would be for this election. Of course, people are chiming in because, oh, there's so much excitement and, oh, it's going to be very, very high. No, it's not. No, it isn't. Insiders, partisans, maybe younger voters who are voting for the first time that are very much moved by Francesca Hong, who, if I'm not mistaken, is the youngest candidate on the ballot. You have to think of just that as its own singularity. She's the youngest candidate on the ballot and can speak better to the youth that we want to engage in political contests. there has been a decidedly ageism sentiment in our politics. Fair enough. We don't like the old people. We don't like the boomers. All right. So if you have a younger candidate, they can speak, I believe, with more credibility to a younger cohort of voters. But with all of that said, the voter participation in this election, it's reflective of one thing and one thing only. I know a lot of people are thinking that because there's been so much talk and really some controversy, there's been a lot of tweets, been a lot of tweeting. The tweet election, Dirt McGirt, he started it. Then Franny Pants, she's got some tweets too. She doesn't like the Thanksgiving. Then she liked it with a lot of tweeting going on. And because there's just been so much talk about it, but also I think us here, including you all that listen to us here on 101.7 The Truth, and thank you so very much for choosing to spend at least a part of your day with us. We have been overexposed to all of this because this is all we've been talking about. I want to talk about other stuff. I want to talk about relationships. I want to talk about love. I want to talk about all the passionate things, but no, you got to make sure we talk about this damn election. Voter turnout is going to be low. Now, I don't have a lot of information just yet, but a couple few people that have voted already have sent me what voter number they were. So these are from the South Side, so near South Side wards are averaging. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? I need you to be seated. I want you to sit down. In fact, you know what? Let me grab my coffee. Averaging 5 voters per hour. It's early, but you have 3 waves of voters. The morning time before the work voter, if you work at the 9 o'clock, maybe you leave a little bit early and you go and you cast your vote. There's not going to be a line. I can assure you that. I don't care where you're voting at. You're going to get in quick. So the first is the early morning voters. I'm sometimes an early morning voter. I got up pretty early this morning. I'm like, you know what? Should I just make my little coffee, get dressed? Should I just go vote real quick at 7 o'clock? Nah, it can wait. Then you have the lunchtime voters, people that use their lunch break. You also can get, I think, Wisconsin employers have to allow you an hour or 2 hours to go and vote. So that's the next wave of voters. Then you start to get a better picture of what turnout is going to be. And then, of course, there is the largest cohort and contingent of voters that vote after work. So starting after 5 p.m. until the polls close. And I'm mandated to say this next part, even though in this election it's not going to apply. If you're in line at 8 o'clock, they have to let you vote. It's not going to be a line at 8 o'clock. Primary election turnout. And how low it is, I got some lists right here. There's only 5 states. So far this year, and we're kind of late with our primary in the Wisconsin, 32 states have had midterm election primaries so far, with the last of them being last month. No, I think that Michigan was last week, right? So we'd be the 33rd state to have a primary election in this midterm that we are in currently. Only 5 states have exceeded 30%. So for you folks saying, oh, it's going to be really, really high, it's going to be less than 35%, probably going to be less than 30. I'm thinking somewhere around 27%. But primary election voter turnout is based on essentially one thing: how smart your voters are, how engaged, and how much they understand the issues. So Wisconsin with 30% or lower primary election voter turnout means that, no, this is probably using a little bit of an estimate here, but the more highly engaged and intelligent the voter is, the higher the primary voter turnout. Really super engaged voters are going to vote in a higher number in a primary. We don't have that here. We don't. Oh, look how we're starting the show today. This will be great. Hello, Alan. How are you?
I just voted. Guess what? I was number 5 over here on 21 and 22 by Haven. We got to vote at now, you know, that little forest. So I was number 5. And then when I was coming out, a couple other people were walking in.
Wait a minute. You were number 5 at 9 o'clock?
Yeah, it's unreal. Oh, and nobody's there. It's crazy. So I'll just give you an update, and then later on I'll tell you when I go get Ty, she's good. Vanessa's pouring out, you know, that's why I went early. I just told her one of us has to vote at the very least. And if we get that storm, she's not going to want to get out of the car and get all wet, you know. So I voted, you know, I did it. Where everybody's going out, Hong's going to nail it, I think. I like to see her on the ballot. Yesterday, they came by, I got my sign for Tom Tiffany. They came and delivered it themselves. It was pretty nice of them.
Did you vote in the Republican primary? You didn't really have many choices.
It's open. I didn't have to. It's all set. I voted for one person, Democrat Hong.
All right.
I want her in the back. That's the strategy. That's what they do to us. I mean, we're finally using strategy here, the conservatives. This is going to be, I don't understand why they gave it to her, man. You can't walk, like you were saying, you just can't walk that stuff back. Anyway, I remember at the Brown Deer Walmart. I got to go up there and try to find a sugar-free coffee creamer for my wife.
All right, I'll
talk to you soon, but that's the update up here on the north side. Nobody's voted yet, man.
All right, thank you for your call.
Yep. Hey, God bless you, buddy. See you later.
All right, then, Alan. So the information I got earlier was five people were voting per hour. He was at Haven Woods, and five people have voted. So this is probably going to be par for the course. Another thing that we have to consider is a lot of people voted early. They voted by mail, and the Democrats, the Wisconsin Democratic Party, tried to sue to allow people to spoil their ballots, because if you voted for any number of candidates that have recently dropped out of the race, soon dropped out after you voted, I should say, then people should get a do-over, because if you actually go to a polling location, if you make a mistake on your ballot, they will actually give you another one unless you vote again. But a court ruled that those votes that had already been cast cannot be spoiled, and if you voted already by mail, you will not get another chance to change your ballot. I want you to be mindful of that fact, because that part that a lot of us have probably forgotten about, because it was a big enough deal for the Democrats to want to sue to allow people to spoil their ballots. Think about where David Crowley was. Think about where Joel Brennan was. Well, Joel Brennan has just been, him and 2% has been in love. Joel Brennan is like milk. 2%. Kelda Royce, number two pencil. You got to have a number two pencil for the Scantron. So Kelda Royce is a Scantron and Joel Brennan is milk. They'd have been stuck at 2%. Then you had Sarah Rodriguez. Then you had Mandela Barnes. Okay. So if David Crowley was that, he was in single digits back then, when those mail ballots went out. So I wouldn't expect David Crowley to have overperformed whatever he was polling at when people sent in their mail-in ballots. So a disproportionate number of those mail-in ballots might even go to candidates that are no longer in the race. That's going to play a factor. I'm thinking the turnout's going to be somewhere around 27%. This is just my approximation and my math. In order for David Crowley to be successful, that turnout would have to be closer to 39 or 40%. The lower the turnout is, the more it favors Francesca, because where she's from, Madison will probably have 40% turnout. For some reason, we here in the city of Milwaukee cannot exceed the voter turnout percentages that Madison does. So even if it's low everywhere else, it will be highest where she is from. JD, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back and talk to you. So we're going to talk to JD on the other side, and we're going to be speaking with candidate for lieutenant governor, Sarah Godlewski. She's going to be calling in at 9:30. You may remember her from a 2022 brief run for the U.S. Senate. She also served as Wisconsin's Secretary of State. So she's going to call in and give her perspective as a Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor, but she has no primary. She doesn't have anybody running against her, so she's just been traveling around the state just absorbing all of the madness, because she didn't have to involve herself or engage in any attacks or any bickering, but she's just been chilling. I want to give a shout-out to my boy. Got to give a shout-out when a shout-out is due, you know what I'm saying? I'm shouting out Yi Zhang, Yi Ling Zhang. That's my boy. I ain't never met him. The Asians is doing their thing in this election.
Shout out to Yi Ling Zhong. Oh, you don't know who that is? He's the candidate for Wisconsin State Treasurer. Oh, you don't know what a Wisconsin State Treasurer is? That don't matter. Something, 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 money. The money in the state and the money and something, money, money. Something, something. Whatever. This is an Asian fella. He single-handedly has supported and spent more money supporting black media during this election cycle than all the other candidates combined. Shout out to the Asian. I can't wait to go vote for him. I'm actually excited to cast my vote for the Asian man.
Me too.
His commercial's been playing crazy.
I love it.
He got good commercials too. If his style of ad, if that style of ad was running for any of these other candidates, I think that the campaigns would get a lot more attention. And they'd be a lot more excited. He make you feel like the treasurer is going to save the day.
Yeah, he came here escaping communism.
I'll be dipped. He came here escaping communism just so that we here in Wisconsin can nominate one. I'm going to take a break, come back, talk to JD on the other side. You are listening to, I suppose we'll call this an Election Day special here on The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
On the line is the official poet laureate of 101.7 The Truth, JD the Poet. JD, how are you?
I'm well. I was voter number 10, a little after 8, at Ward 170.
What location is that? What geographic area is that in the city?
I'm in King Park, a little bit west of Marquette. It's like on 18th or 19th and Juno, inside of an elderly building.
Okay.
All right. For the old folks.
Fair enough.
Yep. It was some AKAs in there running. I went in there and said, ski wee, and told them that I came to vote.
All right, now.
Well, yeah, we made it happen. That guy that you were talking about, Chi Lee, I voted for him. I liked his ads, but the state treasurer really don't do nothing. But what he can do, people have unclaimed property, and that's something that he mentions in his ads. A lot of us have friends and family that have died that didn't have anyone close, and we can get that, or parents, and sometimes they're owed money. And that's one of his responsibilities, and he does fiscal oversight. So a lot of people don't know what the treasurer does, but that's something that they are responsible for, a lot of the actual financial responsibilities and the fiduciary responsibilities have been transferred to other departments. But that's something that we need to know as civically minded people, because we can't just be having people in office and not understand what they do. Otherwise, we're lost in the sauce. Voting is like paying your bills. It's something you have to do. And if you don't, you get lost in the sauce. And that's what happens. And that's why our communities are lacking. And we say, why are the streets so bad in Milwaukee and not in Brookfield? Because in Brookfield, they vote. They know who their alderman is. They be on his ass. And they say, this needs to be fixed. And the streets are very smooth in Brookfield. And they still have trucks that roll over them. They still have salt. But it's not like in Milwaukee, because they have a civic responsibility that they adhere to. And until we do that in the city, we're going to continue to have the same problems that we continue to have. And we're going to go through the same things and the same rigmarole. And that's what I have for you today. And I appreciate you, Sherwin, and you have a great one.
Thank you. You too, JD. All right, then. You probably won't hear Yi Ling Jing's name again after today. Yi Ling Zhong. That's, you got to get it right. It's a very Asian name. It's got a lot of consonants in it. It's got a lot of X's and stuff in it. I assure you that 99% of the people that are listening to me right now, you don't have any unclaimed property. No, you don't, because you'd know. Nobody left you anything. Just saying.
But no, that is a responsibility of the state treasurer, and I guess they do provide some kind of fiscal oversight, even though the legislature controls the budget and all of the spending. It's a great position, whatever. I'm overemphasizing Yi Ling Jing because he spent money here and advertised with us and promoted his campaign. David Crowley didn't, mostly because Kyle Wallace has just been mean to David Crowley. Kyle just been ranting on, and which that's fine. I don't even know why I'm even bringing that up, but Kyle has just been getting more angry and angry talking about David Crowley, talking about, you know, David Crowley said being called establishment is a slur, and it depends on who's saying it. I think some people can use it innocently, and there are some people that use it as a dog whistle because it's coded. Like they're making it seem like the insiders in the Democratic Party are bad people or whatever. But whatever, David said, oh, no, I take it as a slur. I'm not an establishment person. Gwen Moore even pushed back on the establishment moniker at a rally they had yesterday for Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley at the Cooperage. In fact, the Cooperage was the last candidate forum that I attended in person. That was last fall. And after I attended that, I said to myself, and I was a man of my word, that I would not attend another candidate forum because there was too many candidates in the race and they were not differentiating themselves from one another. They weren't talking about how they had unique experiences and different perspectives. You know what they were doing? They were agreeing with one another on every single question. It has been the stupidest campaign cycle I have ever seen. I don't know what it is about these Democrats, or you know what it really is. It's these are the people that are willing to take the risk to run for higher public office, governor in particular, because you don't always get the best people or the most qualified people or the most intelligent people or the most innovative people. You get the people that first want to do it, that want to take the risk, that believe that they have the campaign strategy, that believe that they can raise the money, that believe that they have the grassroots support and believe that there is a section of voters for them. That's a very, very narrow strip of human beings. To what JD said, he said that the streets in Brookfield are smooth as glass because people vote. Oh, that's not why. Well, if you compare the city of Milwaukee, which probably has, I don't know, we probably got 3,000 miles worth of roads here. The workforce that we would need to keep all of our streets perfectly paved and pothole free exceeds the number of people that even want to work for Milwaukee Public Works. That's number one. Number two, in Brookfield, if you look at the value of properties in Brookfield, they're probably considerably higher. The average home price in Brookfield, probably higher than in the city of Milwaukee. And because the home values are higher, the assessed values are higher, they've got a larger dollar amount of property taxes that they can use to pave their roads, in which they have dramatically less of them. There's less roads. If you only got 37 miles worth of road, it's easy to make sure all the streets are paved and all the potholes are filled. Voting is not oftentimes a direct change of your circumstance. It sets a policy tone, or it can create an atmosphere where certain policies are much more likely to get the light of day than others, where certain constituencies are pedestalized versus others. It does not change things right away. And I think I have been guilty of spreading that misinformation, like, oh, if you want everything to change, then you go and vote. I assure you, if you go and vote today, you're going to wake up tomorrow. Some of you are going to be very disappointed, but your life is still going to be, for the most part, the same. And also, I would even say this. If you look at where you are right now, whatever your circumstances, like your financial circumstance, your job situation, I guess look at your bank account, like how are you doing, and just make an assessment. So Trump is president. He's been president for a little less than 2 years now. He's not good, okay? We know that. He's very bad, very bad. He's got a lot of holes. He's old, and he poops on himself. He's this whole, he's terrible. We're in a war, very, very bad. But is the sky falling? You know what I mean? We can make it more dramatic than it is. I'm trying to make sure that people are grounded in reality here, because some folks will get so angry and upset, emotional over the results of an election. I'm just trying to tell folks, don't worry, there's going to be another election coming up. If you don't like what happened this time, don't worry, get your life together and start organizing and start talking to people.
there'll be another election where you'll have another shot at it. We'll take a break, come back. We are expecting to hear from candidate for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Guy-Lewis. Is this her already? Well, hell, she's calling early. Guess we could take her now. Should we take her now? Or do you want some time? You want to put the picture up, Xavier? Okay, tell her. All right, tell her we're going to go a little quick break and we'll come back, talk to her a couple few minutes. Candidate for Lieutenant Governor who has no primary, so it's just her. So when you go and vote for Yi Ling Zhang, you might as well go vote for Sarah Godlewski too, because Yi Ling Zhang has been supporting 101.7 The Truth. Kelda hasn't. Old 2% Milk Joel hasn't. Franny Pants hasn't. David Crowley hasn't. But Yi Ling Zhang, that's our dude. I should get a t-shirt. All right, The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
On the line, Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Godlewski. Hey, Sarah, how are you today?
Well, good morning, Sherwin, and happy Election Day. I'm great. It's finally here, you know?
Finally here. Boy, oh boy, has this been an election cycle for the ages. This is why I wanted to talk to you, Sarah, because you don't have a primary opponent. So you've been able to essentially travel a state and talk to people that already know you very well because you've been Secretary of State of Wisconsin before. What is your assessment of the situation that we are in right now with this very unusual and still very crowded Democratic primary for governor?
Yeah, no, Sherwin, it's a really good question. And I think there's no doubt about it. Wisconsin and this election has been a bit of a reality TV show, Sherwin. And then today we get to find out who the winner of that show is going to be. But my conversations across the state is that, look, I think regardless of who makes it out of this primary, whether it is David Crowley or Francesca Hung or Kelda Royce or Joel Brennan, that any one of them would be better than Tom Tiffany, who is running unopposed in the Republican gubernatorial primary. I mean, he's a guy, Sherwin, that when you look at it, he's being funded by the wealthiest Wisconsinites. And what does he do with that power? He gives them the largest tax breaks in the entire history of this country. Because he's not working for us. He's cutting our health care or food share. And so if you think about what he has done and how that could transition to what he could do to Wisconsin, it's pretty scary.
Do you think that the Democrats in the state of Wisconsin are going through some kind of ideological crisis? Because I come to find out something in this election cycle, and maybe you heard this new buzzword as well, that apparently I'm establishment. There's a whole bunch of establishment people, and the establishment is looked at as something negative, and it's coming from our own party. Your assessment of that and where the ideology of the Democratic Party is in this midterm election?
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of the never-ending excitement, Sherwin, in this primary is because it's the people who are driving what is happening, and that sometimes can be messy. And so when folks talk about the establishment, my kind of response is, well, I'd like to know who that is. Because when you look at the candidates that are currently in this election, it's candidates that people have propped up, that people have voted for, because that's how democracy works. And as they are introducing themselves to people in our state, they get to figure out who they want to represent us. And I'll tell you, Sherwin, I'm excited to figure out who the people are going to vote for, because they're going to, at the end of the day, be my work spouse, as I like to say. This process has been exactly what people have, you know, has really been driving forward.
We are speaking to Sarah Godlewski. She is a Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor. You do not have a primary. So even though the polls have only been open for 2.5 hours, I think it's fairly safe for me to congratulate you a little early in being the Democratic candidate elect for lieutenant governor. Sarah, there's going to be a situation we're going to have to deal with, and it's literally going to start tomorrow morning when we wake up. I'm assuming we're going to know all the full election results. How do Democrats come back together? Because there have been some interesting things said about the candidates, and we know at the end of the day it's about beating Tom Tiffany. Do you think it will be difficult to get the Democrats to come back together and unite behind one candidate? Because people are – they're pretty committed to their current candidates they're supporting. How do we get everybody back together on the same page?
To me, how we get – everybody back on the same page and unite together is because the risk is too great for us not to. And we have 84 days, Sherwin, between the primary ending and the general election on November 3rd to talk to every Wisconsinite about the risk if we vote for a Tom Tiffany administration. I mean, Tom Tiffany is the guy that called affordability a buzzword, Sherwin. I mean, tell that to the family that I just recently talked to that their health care premium went from $700 a month for a family of four to $2,700 a month. Like, that's insane. And Tom Tiffany and what he did in Washington is what caused that to happen. You know, Tom Tiffany is the guy that has said, I want people to have affordable homes. Well, yet in Washington, he is the guy that refused and didn't cast a vote for a bipartisan bill that would stop Wall Street from buying homes, which is stopping from making home ownership affordable. And so I think, to me, when we look at the risks, it's really great. And the other thing is, let's talk about Tom Tiffany. And, you know, when you're governor, you're responsible for certifying the election. That's part of your role. And this is a guy in 2020, as a member of Congress, refused to recognize that Joe Biden won the election and put his personal preference above the will of the people. I mean, he said he would have overturned the Wisconsin election. That, to me, is horrifying to think about what Tom Tiffany would be doing if he was our next governor.
Sarah, you've had this incredible luxury of not having a primary, so you can absolutely be the best surrogate for the Democrats all across the state. Have you enjoyed that luxury of not having to beat up on another Democrat? Like, you can just go into any county party meeting and just say, hey, we're the Democrats. Here's what we're going to do, and here's how I'm going to work with the legislature, et cetera, et cetera. So have you enjoyed that freedom?
Oh, my gosh. You know, Sherwin, I think some people are like, what is with that Sarah Godlewski? I will tell you, my happy place is on the campaign trail. You know, I think it is a real honor to be able to come into people's businesses or homes or for them to share their stories with me. And so I absolutely love it. And I never take that time on the campaign trail for granted. And so it's been fun, not, as I like to say, Sherwin, fighting in the family and just being able to actually talk about what we want to do for Wisconsinites, like making life more affordable, lowering costs, and you know, funding our public schools. And so yeah, it's been great. But I can't wait to now roll up my sleeves and get to work and really start talking to people about who Tom Tiffany truly is, because I think when you look at his TV ads, Sherwin, he looks like he's this, aw shucks, nice guy in a flannel, but we can't let that flannel fool us.
Before I let you go, how do we begin to prepare Wisconsin voters for the absolute onslaught of conservative Republican Donald Trump, and maybe even Donald Trump himself, all of the visits and the spending that they are going to absolutely bombard Wisconsin with? It has been relatively timid so far, but it's going to get so much worse. How do we prepare Wisconsin voters for this negative onslaught that's going to start, quite honestly, probably tomorrow?
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. I mean, my parents would say, well, that spending by Donald Trump and his mega wealthy donors is exactly why I don't want to vote for Tom Tiffany, because he's 100% of the time voted with Donald Trump, and in his, you know, he's a lapdog to that guy. And so they just turn the television off. But I think what Wisconsinites need to be aware of is the stakes couldn't be any higher. I mean, we are electing the chief executive office for the state of Wisconsin. And as governor, one of the things that Tony Evers did, as an example, is when Donald Trump tried to take away millions of dollars for food share, which helps make sure families in our state can afford food, Tony Evers immediately put food share money on people's food share card. So when the Trump administration tried to take that back, they couldn't do that. I mean, the chief executive officer of the state is basically a check and balance on the Trump administration. So if you don't like what's happening with the Trump administration, if you're frustrated because, you know, you're seeing your prices increase because of Donald Trump, you need to vote for the Democrat running, because they can be that check and balance. And I would say bring what we all want, which is an affordable cost of life where we can raise our families and not worried about bills that are keeping us up at night.
Sarah Godlewski, candidate,
Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor. Thank you so much for your perspective and spending a little time with us on Election Day.
Yeah, and Sherwin, if I can just add, as a, you know, in my day job, like, today is Election Day, and we do have same day registration. So even if you are not registered to vote and you're like, I've had enough, I want to make sure my voice is heard, you can go to your polling place and register. So you just have to visit myvote.wi.gov. Again, that's myvote.wi.gov. And they have where you can vote, what you need to bring, because we need everybody to participate in this election. Your voice really does matter.
Amen to that. Thank you, Sarah. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Sherwin. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Tonight, if you haven't had enough election coverage, join myself and Dr. Ken Harris via the Hughes Views 414 YouTube channel. Doc and I are going to give you up-to-date coverage. We're going to chat and talk and engage with the YouTube comment section. It's going to be fun. Oh, why did I sign up for it? I'm so tired. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad it's over. Xavier was just telling me that Congresswoman Gwen Moore is a nice lady. And X, you were there at the Cooperage last night at the Crowley rally, and you got some footage that you're going to upload to your YouTube channel. Is that correct?
Yep. It's currently uploading right now. It'll be premiering at 2:30.
All right. We might. In fact, I know we will. Dr. Ken and I will probably play a little bit of that during our election night broadcast this evening that starts at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time via the Hughes Views 414 YouTube channel. And the Democrats, David Crowley, you said, committed, and Congresswoman Gwen Moore committed to help whoever the Democratic nominee is. Tony Evers also said something similar. Tony Evers said that he'll be helpful. He got to pause a little bit. He said, no, whoever it is will be helpful. But then he said, that's not going to happen because this guy right here, as he pointed to David Crowley, is going to be the nominee. There's a pathway for David, and it lies within a very consistent part of the Wisconsin electorate. I just don't know how many of them statewide may have voted early, because the older the voter, the higher the participation in any election, general election, primary election, midterm, et cetera. So the older you are, the more likely you are to vote in every single election. And also the older you are, the more likely you are to receive your ballot by mail and return it also by mail or take it to a drop box. Keep in mind, some people have voted in this contest back in like June, July, they've already voted. It's a very different contest today on Tuesday, August 11th, than it was, say, right around the 4th of July before you had people in the race and then not in the race. And then there's the whole Mandela effect. Mandela's going to get an awful lot of votes. You mark my words. In fact, Mandela is going to overperform for someone who dropped out of the race. And so if I'm looking at what the mathematic possibility for David Crowley is, because, you know, we're here in Milwaukee. This is where we are broadcasting from. We're very familiar with David Crowley. I don't like his campaign. I think his campaign was run very, very poorly. I think they missed an awful lot of opportunities. I think that he needed to do better in setting himself apart and defining himself before they could label him as establishment. That stuff only sticks when you're not defining who you are. The other part I'm coming to find out about this election cycle, nobody cares he's county executive. Nobody cares. They don't care. They don't care about all the things that he's done. People that know him and like him, like, they care about what he's done because, you know, David Crowley is a great guy and they love his success. But if you don't know who he is, then his accomplishments, and maybe like 10 or 15% of your decision, how does he make you feel? How does he come across? Is he exciting? Is he innovating? Is he the kind of candidate that you believe can lead this state for a long time? Because typically, Wisconsin governors are here for a very long time. Can you make that kind of commitment? See, on the campaign trail, it's where you, it's like you're on Tinder. We got a bunch of matches, don't we? We got Kelda. She ain't really getting a lot of inboxes. You got Joel Brennan, Mr. 2%. Oh, Joel, I'm just kidding. I know Joel is at home right now. He's chilling. He's probably listening to us as we speak. I mean, what else is he going to be doing? He's at 2%. He don't need to be out there campaigning. Just relax, Joel. You're fine. You got Franny Pants, Dave Crowley. They're out there pressing the flesh. So I may have disclosed last night some information that was a little bit premature. So I was going back and forth with David Crowley's press media communications person. His name is Jonathan. I've known Jonathan for a while. Jonathan got an attitude. He don't know. I'm just saying, Jonathan, you get a little spicy sometimes, okay? So they wanted to bring David on today on my program as a last-minute push. And I originally agreed. But then I was like, oh, wait. Management recently raised issue with how I bring guests onto my program. And I also know that there are some people here in management that probably are David Crowley supporters and probably would not mind him being on the program and maybe would have thought it was a net positive had he come on the show today on election day for a last minute push. But also that same management said, Sherwin, we need 24 hours before you can have the guest on. So I told Jonathan, nope, we can't have him on because management said I need to dip 24 hours. Also, just full disclosure, you don't always get 24 hours with a guest. I know there's always going to be some exceptions, but I'm trying to follow the rules here at 101.7 The Truth. I don't want to be a rule breaker. I'm a rule follower. I'm just a humble servant of the management. So if they say that I got to give them 24 hours notice before I can have a guest on, so all right. So any of you that want to be a guest on my show by tomorrow at 9:50, you better let me know right now. You better get your request in because I got to give 24 hours. But I don't even know what I could have asked David that we haven't asked him already. What can he possibly say that he hasn't said already that you haven't heard him say? He's going to tell you that he's been fiscally responsible in leading Wisconsin's largest county. He can talk about his time in the Wisconsin State Legislature. He can talk about how they've reduced overdose deaths and how they've made a dent in homelessness here in Milwaukee County. And we're just going to hear the same thing over and over again. And you know how hard it is? Because there's a game within the game here. And really what primaries are is they are a game within a game because you are going to decide who is going to represent the party in November. That's what this is. This is an insider election. And to interview him or really anybody else and have them not want to invest in keeping this radio station solvent is painful for me. You know what it's like? It's like having a very popular restaurant. Look at 101.7 The Truth as a great restaurant with many different offerings. We have good salads. We have fantastic burgers. And for you blacks, we have chicken wings fried hard, flats only, extra lemon pepper. Right? We have so many offerings. We've got delicious libations, both alcoholic and mocktail. We have a nice atmosphere. We've got a patio. We even have live music. Imagine 101.7 The Truth is just an incredible restaurant that offers so many things to so many people. And then these candidates, who we obviously know here at the restaurant of 101.7 The Truth, because we offer a buffet for y'all. Depends on when you listen. You got Homer and Bailey, and then you got the Sherwin Hughes, and then you got Ray and Shannon, then you got Manon Sabir, then you got Jazzy Tyler. That's a buffet. Am I missing one? Is that everybody? That's everybody. But then all of our friends want to come, all the candidates, because we know all of the candidates, but they don't want to pay. They want to eat for free. They want to eat. They want to come to the nice 101.7 Truth restaurant. They want to hang out. They want to mix and they want to mingle. They want to get drunk. They want to eat lemon pepper chicken wings, fried hard, all flats. And then when a bill comes, they walk away. I don't like that. And I usually don't care, but I have an obligation and responsibility to make sure that what we do here is able to continue. And they just been using us. I don't like that. I've been warned about that in the past. Like, oh, Sherwin, be careful with these candidates. Because if you give them, well, here's what happened. We gave them too many free chicken wings in the beginning. Before we launched the restaurant, before we actually opened, we gave them plenty of chicken wings. We let them come on all of the time. Because for some hosts, interviewing someone is a way in which you can provide content and fill time. I don't really even like to interview people that much unless it is timely, necessary, and relevant. Because mostly when you interview people, it's boring. They don't have very good radio etiquette. They have no semblance of time whatsoever. Because I'll tell somebody. Because we have a conversation before we go on air. Let's say I bring in a guest and we bring them in and I got them all set up and they're at the little chair across the little desk from me and they're at the microphone. They put on their headphones and we adjust the volume and we do all of the things. I point to two different clocks. We got clocks in this studio. I got a clock over here. It's a big-ass clock. And I got a smaller clock right here. And I tell them, I was like, hey, this segment is going to be 7 minutes. So at that clock right there, or you can look at this clock over here, at 9:56 and 50 seconds, we have what is called a hard out. We have to stop. And I'll say, okay, Sherwin, a hard out at 9:56 and 50 seconds. And what does Sherwin do? Sherwin repeats that because you got to say things a bunch of times to people before they get it. I say, see that clock right there? Is it, see this clock right here? I do. At 9:56 and 50 seconds, we have a hard out. Cool. Boom. Xavier turns on all the microphones and we get to chatting. Blah, 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 blah. Chat, 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 chat. BS, BS, BS. Chat, chat, chat. Giggle, giggle, giggle. BS, BS, BS. Chat, chat, chat. Here we go. It's 9:56 and 30 seconds. Remember, I told them two times. You got a clock over here. You got a clock over here. At 9:56 and 50 seconds. What I say, y'all, we have a hard out. So now it's 9:56 and 45 seconds. So we got 5 seconds left. And they're just coming to the end of their statement. They're just finishing up. And then it's 9:56 and 50 seconds. And you know what my guests do? Sherwin, I've got, wait till I bring, I got another topic. You know, when I was a child, you know, back in 1984, when I was, I hate it. And I understand people don't understand the radio etiquette, but it also, it discourages me from having people in studio. Now, there are other people who are fantastic. I ask a question, they answer it in a truncated and succinct way, and then Sherwin is allowed to ask another question. Because sometimes when we ask you questions, not that any of you are even caring about any of this, but I need a break from talking about this damn election. Sometimes I'll ask you a question, it's just yes or no. You don't have to go, you know, Sherwin, back in 1962 during the Civil Rights Movement, I don't need a history lesson from you.
It's 9:56 and 50 seconds, and The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.